You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Gregory Weed, and we're going to be talking about his new book, The Trojan Church. Now, we've known Gregory in the past. We interviewed him on a book he wrote called Diary of a Devil Hunter, Diary of a Devil Hunter, which we still carry. That, of course, it chronicles his experience with the occult, coming out of it, going across the country, talking about the satanic movements and the satanic covens and the satanic crimes, and then, of course, having every effort made to discredit him and anybody else who was talking about the active satanic movement in this country, including people from the FBI, gentlemen who would come out and assure police forces and groups that there was no such thing as satanic crimes, that the ideas of false memory syndrome of this, all these people who remembered the satanic incidents, why it was all imaginary. It never really occurred. And of course, the CIA had their man, Jolly West, heading the false memory syndrome group. And eventually, of course, most of the people who were trying to expose the satanic movement in America simply gave up or went on to something else. And, well, I'm going to let Gregory tell you about his experience and about what is going on in so many Christian churches today without either the knowledge or even the suspicion of the average person who goes to church. A Christian church in America. Gregory, thanks so very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
You pick up the story from there.
Well, between 1987 and about 1990, we worked very hard going across the country and working with various agencies, law enforcement, probation departments, some associates from the FBI, churches, safe houses, youth pastors all across the country, psychologists, who were being overloaded with cases of satanic crime, kids involved in the occult, actual murders and crimes being done in the name of Satan. And we were extracting kids out of the occult. We were helping children who had been abused by these groups. And we had a great deal of success for 5 or 6 years in trying to stop these activities and bring the perpetrators to justice. And then sometime around 1990, 1991, there was a deluge, a backlash of articles and proclamations from various agencies, from Kenneth Lanning from the FBI that claims that he'd never seen any proof of satanic crime, not one hair, not one drop of blood, as he has said, and groups like the False Memory Syndrome Foundation. There were Christian groups out of Chicago that were writing articles to discredit anybody that claimed that there was any kind of satanic crime, and it succeeded in a very short period of time of completely eviscerating our network, which was about 250 people at the time, of high-quality professionals in this field, many who were not even Christians, but who were doing a very good job at stopping these crimes, to where we're down to about 5 people now. So it was a very strong backlash, a very deliberate and well-planned backlash that left us in a place where we no longer had places to place victims. We had no one to call when we had a kid who was in trouble. And most of the church had turned their backs on people who were trying to get help.
And, of course, the great tragedy is, of course, here you see the combination of a so-called Christian group and then the CIA-backed False Memory Syndrome Organization had branches all across America saying all these people who think that they were victims of satanic crimes, it's all imaginary. And you know, when you have access to the media, and especially the Christian media, the people who really should be concerned about this, and because one of the things they did set out to do was discredit Mike Warnke, and I remember hearing people come on Christian radio and saying, Mike Warnke admitted it was all fraudulent. What's the truth about that?
The truth about that is, and I've heard that nearly every place I've spoken in the last 10 years, someone's brought that up. I know Mike personally. I was very aware of some of the issues of his testimony. He has admitted that he was a Christian comedian, and he exaggerated certain points of his testimony, and he's repented for that. but never, never did he say that he was not involved in a satanic network. He never said that he made any of that up, and I find it absolutely astonishing because his first wife, they got divorced many years ago. She, to this day, stands by his claims because she married him fresh when he got out of the satanic world. She walked through that, and even though they got a divorce, I've got a letter on file where she says, I know that he was involved in these things. So Mike was who he thought he was. Now, one of the interesting sidelines to that is he came and did a crusade in the city I live in about a year before he was attacked in the print media and called a fraud. And while he was speaking here in my city in front of nearly 1,000 people and coming against satanic crimes, there were three people in the audience that were some of the most high-level players in the satanic world in our city, sitting on like a second row, and they were watching everything he said. And I knew when I saw them that they were going to do something to try and take him out. And within a year, they had completely brought down his network. He went into bankruptcy. He went into a time, that's the bad part. The good part is he went into a time of restoration and healing, and he is now going around the world preaching the gospel, and he is stronger than ever. And I'm really thankful for that.
Well, I am too. But, you know, the thing is, it did such an effective hatchet job on him. And when you control the media, why, you can destroy anybody you want to. But, of course, your major thrust in your book is the occult influence in the Christian church today. And this is what most people really don't understand. They know that something's changed in church. They know the music has changed. They know the message seems to have changed, the approach seems to have changed, but after all, maybe this is just progress. And do we have mega churches now? We're told what a profound impact Christianity is having on our society, and just look at the result of the last election, which, of course, the Democrats swept everything. People who openly support abortion were backed by hardline Christians who, you know, just were looking for change. They want a change for the better. Unfortunately, they're going to have a change for the worse. But, Cindy, let's talk a little bit about the Trojan Church. Why do you call it the Trojan Church?
Well, the concept, of course, of the Trojan horse is the enemy had come into the city they were going to attack with something that looked like a gift. It looked very harmless. It was like almost like a piece of art. Inside this huge wooden horse was the whole enemy army, and they were able to get inside of the city, and that's what they've done with the church.
Well, I think we've got a real problem, and our guest is Gregory Reed. We'll be back in just a moment here in America.
People who don't suffer from back pain have no idea how excruciatingly agonizing it can be. Sometimes there's no comfortable position. You can't stand, you can't sit, even lying down can be murder. Sometimes the problem is in the lower back, with shooting, stabbing pains jolting through the buttock and into the thigh. Or sometimes the pain is in the neck and upper back area. You can't turn your head without terrible pain. Pain that bad can wreck your life. Sometimes the pain is caused by an auto accident. Sometimes it's work-related. And sometimes horrible pain can start with something as ridiculous as a sneeze or just sleeping wrong. At Chiropractic Plus, they fix sore necks and backs. At Chiropractic Plus, they usually get impressive results after just one visit. If you're in pain now or know somebody in pain, call Chiropractic Plus at 303-254-8430. They make neck and back pain go away. Call 303-254-8430. They work with insurance companies. Chiropractic Plus, 303-254-8430.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
And we're talking about how fraudulent the numbers are that we're being given and how it's very, very selective that the people are who are coming up with this scam. And ladies and gentlemen out there, this is a scam. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report isn't written by all the scientists who attended the meeting. The scientists who attended the meeting came up with certain conclusions. A small committee convened after the meeting comes up with a conclusion that has very little to do with what the scientists talk about. And yet you are being told that this is the consensus of the scientists of our nation. And it is, quite frankly, a lie. In fact, my friend Art Robinson has actually come up with a petition. I think there are between 31 or 33,000 scientists who have signed that petition saying man's activity has nothing to do with the rise in temperature. And yet Al Gore has the effrontery to go before the public and say, I mean, the scientific consensus is almost complete. Almost every scientist agrees, and of course very, very few scientists agree, and most of them are on his payroll or the payroll of the people who want to destroy the infrastructure of our society. People say, why would rational people want to do that? And the answer is, we're not dealing with rational people. But go right ahead, John.
Well, thank you. And everything you've said has, everybody has heard. I want to complete this thought here on the temperature because it's very important for folks to understand how information is managed. But I do want to get to the primary conclusion of my book, which is that it is the sun alone can describe all the increases and changes in temperatures. But for most folks, understanding that there are different temperature records that different groups are pointing to, the global warming community keeps talking about the one record which they have selectively used, these stations, for example. But they also have now acknowledged that their sea data is wrong and they had to use the satellite data. And there's a huge disconnect between their selection of data and satellite data. On top of that, the British have an index of temperature, which is called Hadley. And since 1998, with declining temperatures, and I think that's what we need to really focus on, is that the temperatures rose about 0.6 of a degree in 1998 over 1960. But now they've declined half that difference. They're down by 50% at 0.3 degrees centigrade. The Hadley shows this taking place as well as the satellite data that is brought to us by a different set of satellites that have been set up there over the years, and it's called the MSU satellite data. Those two are very close, and they do point out this huge decline in temperatures. The selective data sets themselves that the global warming community tends to point to are actually 78% higher here in 2008 than the Hadley and the satellite data. So that disconnect in terms of temperature causes some confusion when reporting is made across the globe. But when I take the data, which is this the change in reflectivity of the Earth, and apply that to the Hadley data as well as the Hadley and the satellite data, I get a very, very solid fit to the changes in temperatures, and you can predict all the changes that took place from 1960 to the peak in 1998 as well as the decline to today within a couple of hundredths of a degree of any of the years in between that period. And if you take the same period, take the data up through 1960 and forecast forward with the global warming community zone data, you forecast a temperature that should be double to triple what we have today in terms of the actual change in temperatures. In other words, the global warming theory itself cannot tell us about the changes in temperature. And to my view, the community itself tends to want to use higher temperature record data to try to get as much support for their concept that the temperatures are increasing to support the models themselves. But they really don't go back in time and say, okay, from 1960 we can predict today's temperatures, and including the declines from 1998 to today, their models just keep rising. And the reason their models keep rising is because they're basing all of their assumptions on the concept that greenhouse gases themselves, which have been increasing slowly and are a minuscule amount of the atmosphere, are holding more and more energy into the atmosphere. Additionally, it's causing more heat to be held in by the actions of clouds and humidity in the atmosphere, causing what they call an enhanced effect. And that enhanced effect, when you forecast forward, 100 years, certainly can raise temperatures based on their calculations to get to the numbers that they're projecting of between 2 to 11 degrees centigrade. But just since the publication of my book, which proves that it is the sun primarily that is causing all the temperature change, as well as just in July, the American Physical Society's Physics and Society Forum, which is the Society of American Physicists, just made a statement that when they went back and investigated the global warming theory itself, the theory is through their own calculations, they felt did not have greenhouse gases did not have any enhanced effects. Therefore, they said that the global warming theory was grossly overstated in terms of its effects upon the planet.
Now, who said that?
That's the American Physical Society, which is the physicists of the United States.
Okay, so they say that this is not a problem then.
They say that there is no enhanced effects from greenhouse gases, so that they don't, and the amount of increase from greenhouse gases, even in the worst case, is not going to cause, is not endangering. And then just at the same time, within several weeks of that release of that information, the Marshall Space Flight Center had sent up a satellite in 2001, and there was a tracking of data from that satellite, which was trying to confirm the concept of enhanced effects from greenhouse gases. And Dr. Roy Spencer is one of the primary scientists on that case. He reported that, in fact, there was a negative relationship between a negative feedback that was taking place with greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and that, in effect, when he looked at all of the theories out there themselves, no one had a negative effect of any changes in cloud structures within their models. And he concluded from that that the concept that there was an enhanced effect from greenhouse gases just is scientifically just not valid. And that same concept itself is also included in my book, because the data, which has the reflectivity data, has shown that we've had declines in the amount of sunlight striking the Earth, which is a negative relationship between the changes in temperature and greenhouse gases. So his report was given to the Senate Environmental Committee, and this is chaired by Barbara Boxer. And just 2 weeks after that presentation that he made, which said that there is no danger from greenhouse gases, Nancy Pelosi was talking about the fact that she wanted cap and trade to be put in place because she wanted to save the planet. So there is quite a divergence of thought here of the community, the global warming community, saying that they're still on track for what they intend, which is to put in controls upon carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases, while at the same time strong science is coming out saying there is no danger from greenhouse gases.
And well, of course, if you wanted to destroy existing society, this is exactly what you do. Of course, you can only surmise from what they're doing when, of course, they're coming up with all these stories that really aren't true, and the danger that they pose is not true. Could you tell our listeners, I mean, what are greenhouse gases? Aren't most of them clouds? And what component of greenhouse gases or of the atmosphere is the so-called greenhouse gases produced by CO2?
Okay, well, let's start off with the real greenhouse gas. And that's the one that you really want everybody to chuckle about. And the real greenhouse gas is water vapor. And that represents, in terms of parts per million in the atmosphere, that represents 10,000 parts per million on average across the globe, although there are times it's higher or lower. Now, when you get to CO2, you're talking about 385 parts per million in this year.
385 parts per million.
Yes.
And that's supposed to be creating this great crisis?
Well, in fact, much of that's why the global warming community itself agrees that greenhouse gases alone cannot, let's say, fry the Earth, because it's such a small amount component of the atmosphere. There are two others that are primary greenhouse gases, which they call other greenhouse gases, and that's methane and ozone. And then there's some others which people have found and said that there's a certain amount of effect from them. But in reality, when you look at the primaries, those are the three primary greenhouse gases that the community talks about. But they don't really talk about the fact that water vapor is the primary greenhouse gas, and it causes most of the holding of the heat within the planet itself. Because the community itself looks at these small forces and says, well, there's about, 8-tenths of a watt of power associated with the absorption of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere over where it was back in the non-industrial age. They have got to have some other calculation that adds some force to that tiny amount of wattage. You know, we're talking about 4, 5, 6 watts of power coming from changes in sunlight because of the opening of the clouds in the atmosphere and letting more light through, and that heat being held onto by the water vapor in the atmosphere. In order for them to get power behind this concept that greenhouse gases are causing problems is to create something called an enhanced effect. And much of that enhanced effect now has just been disproved by the physicists of the United States, as well as satellite data from Marshall Space Flight Center, as well as my book proving that. But no one really is out there with an alternative to the global warming theory except for my book. And the reason is that nobody has really taken on this concept of the change in reflectivity. And with a change in reflectivity, you can, forecast all the changes taking place based upon the sun alone being able to cause the changes in the atmosphere. There's some statistical support for very small amounts of effect by greenhouse gases. But as time has gone on, since we got past the peak and we're going into decline, less and less of the statistical support for any greenhouse gases is being available to researchers because anytime you look at any thermal dynamic process, the changes in direction of temperature give you the ability to measure which of the primary drivers for temperature are the ones causing that temperature change. And what's happened is greenhouse gases are declining and declining in terms of their statistical ability to predict the changes in temperature when you take into consideration the reflectivity of the Earth. I wanted to just spend a few seconds, though, on the point that you have raised about the selectivity of the global warming community. I just provided the EPA with a document refuting their proposal to put in regulations to control CO2 in the United States and treat it as a pollutant. And that's where we are now getting to the point where the rubber is going to meet the road on the points you raised about how damaging these regulations can be to the general industry of the United States, as well as to the wealth of the people of the United States. The problem for most folks who are looking at the IPCC report is they're relying upon the IPCC report is predicting that there's some major changes going to take place out in the future. The EPA is joining in on that element of it. And yet, there's 6 pieces of science that have come out and are now proven that say that we cannot, that the terrible, dire predictions of the IPCC report are actually wrong and false. I've talked about the reflectivity change. I've talked about the amount of change in the temperatures and the declining. But there's some other elements that are
getting... Hang on there, John. We'll be back as soon as this break is over, right here at the American Freedom Network.
What? You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
People who don't suffer from back pain have no idea how excruciatingly agonizing it can be. Sometimes there's no comfortable position. You can't stand, you can't sit, even lying down can be murder. Sometimes the problem is in the lower back, with shooting, stabbing pains jolting through the buttock and into the thigh. Or sometimes the pain is in the neck and upper back area. You can't turn your head without terrible pain. Pain that bad can wreck your life. Sometimes the pain is caused by an auto accident. Sometimes it's work-related. And sometimes horrible pain can start with something as ridiculous as a sneeze or just sleeping wrong. At Chiropractic Plus, they fix sore necks and backs. At Chiropractic Plus, they usually get impressive results after just one visit. If you're in pain now or know somebody in pain, call Chiropractic Plus at 303-254-8430. They make neck and back pain go away. Call 303-254-8430. They work with insurance companies. Chiropractic Plus, 303-254-8430.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Dr. Stan back here. I guess this morning, Gregory Reed. Right now, Gregory, I'd like to get your web page out and tell people, actually, we're going to be carrying your book. We've already ordered it. But anyway, tell people how to get in touch with your web page.
You can be found at gregoryreed.com. That's Gregory Reed is one word, and it's spelled R-E-I-D, gregoryreed.com. There's a lot of information on all the issues that we're talking about, and there's a direct link to where you can go and order the book. I think it's a very crucial book for this age, and I'm just praying it gets into the right hands, especially of young people who can really turn this thing around.
And, of course, you know, you write about the emergent church. What's wrong with the emergent church? I mean, they're just trying to teach us how to get in touch with God.
Well, when you understand the progression of how the emergent church actually came about, it makes sense that this would be the logical progression of the church's downturn. During the 70s, there was a true revival from God. That's how I became a Christian, was out in California. There was just hundreds of thousands of us were just touched by God and brought into the Christian faith. And then in the 1980s, the church became more of a political animal and more of a financial institution with the mega TV programs and the mega churches. And it became about prosperity. It became about being successful and rich and becoming politically influential. And the next generation after that looked at the church and thought, well, this is not what God's about. We believe there's got to be more to God than money and building big things. So Satan got on the inside of that and took a whole generation and started to feed them false movements such as the emerging church and said, well, what we need to do in order to not be a church that's rich and prosperous is we'll just be about social works. We'll be about doing good deeds. We'll be about helping the poor. All of that is fine, but it's not the gospel. And the emergent church has taken out truth. It has promoted the idea that we just go by our feelings and we need to not talk about heaven and hell. One of the emergent church leaders, Brian McLaren, recently taught at a youth pastors conference at Willow Creek, the largest mega church in America, and told the new leaders coming to raise our kids, we need to stop talking about heaven, hell, and emphasizing that. We need to stop offending people by saying Jesus is the only way to God. We need to, that people are offended by that. And we need to stop all this last days talk and all of these things. And I'm thinking, where is the backbone of Willow Creek that didn't stand up and just yank that guy right out of the pulpit? The emerging church is becoming a social. It's a social engineering tool that the devil is using to make the church powerless. The thing that makes us the church is the proclamation of truth and the cross of Jesus Christ. And the one thing that the emergent church and the mega churches and the purpose-driven have in common is they do not emphasize the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's about getting your best life now and how to improve your life. It's gospel light. It's so powerless because it doesn't stand on the rock-solid things that make the church who we are. And once you remove the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as a central part of who we are, then it's no longer the gospel. It's just a social cause like the Lions Club.
And Ira, this is really so true. Our telephone number, 970-689-8255, 970-689-8255. Have you looked into the influence of the Masonic movement within the Christian church?
Well, that's certainly been a big part of when I was working in law enforcement. It's no secret, and I'm from Texas, and in East Texas, it's just a fact that if you ever want to promote yourself in law enforcement and be any more than a street cop, you better belong to the Masonic Order, or you don't ever get promoted. You just stay where you're at. And it has greatly influenced a lot of the churches, particularly in the east part of Texas, where there's a lot of Christians who join and think there's nothing wrong with it. It's just kind of a fun club. But the Masonic Order is so riddled with the occult from the top to the bottom that once you get into a couple of degrees after you've joined, you know exactly what it is, and it's got a stronghold on you, even as a Christian, that will last your whole life until you turn away from it.
And, of course, if you do try to get out, and why, of course, it may very well influence your career, not only in police and law enforcement, but in business, in every aspect of your life. And once you are into the Masonic Order, don't you dare try to leave, or you can will have their wrath upon you. And so it's really a trap, and so many good people get involved in this, and then they just don't quite know what to do to get out of it.
And it's to some people, when they've been in long enough, I've talked to several people who to this day will not talk about what they were involved with because they know that their lives and the lives of their families are at risk if they disclose any details about what their involvement is with the Masonic movement. And, of course, it has a lot in common with the some of the highest degrees of magic are almost identical to the Masonic movement.
Sure. Well, let's see who's calling in. Who's on the line?
Dr. Stan?
Yes.
This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. How are you doing?
Hi. Perhaps you remember I called you some time ago about my parents having been involved in the occult.
Yes,
And my grandfather, who was the state engineer of Colorado, administering Colorado River water, he was in the Masons, as I told you. And I, at the time, I had no idea that there was anything wrong with that. He would come home. I lived with my grandparents for some long time, and he would come home for dinner, and he'd just sit there and talk about going to the Scottish Rite Temple and other Masonic activities. He was the 32nd degree. Perhaps he reached 33rd degree. And I heard you about Masons, then everything began to fall into place for me, because then my mother and father, as I told you, were in the occult. There were Friday night meetings in our home, and it was just absolutely weird.
Well, I'm glad
I didn't attend the meetings, but we kids sat on the stairs and watched the meetings. I mean, these people wore robes, and they carried candles. They marched around a canvas about 9 feet square, laid on the floor with symbols that they had marked into those squares. I tell you, it was just terrible.
I know. Well, did you have a question for Mr. Reed at all?
I'm not hearing you very well.
No, I just wondered. We want to get back to Mr. Reed, but I appreciate so much your sharing that with us, Maureen. People don't understand this is not imaginary. it is real. And maybe call me sometime off the air, and we could even put you on one of our programs someday, okay?
Well, that would be fine. I have a
great deal to say. For that,
and perhaps that would be a good idea.
Okay, God bless, and thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I'll still say it. You're our best person.
God bless. Bye-bye. Gregory, do you have any comments on what Maureen was saying?
Well, it's not surprising. I mean, I've heard this so many times, and of course, you know, in my work and field of law enforcement training, one of the things that I teach is when it comes to the Aryan Nazi philosophies, when it comes to child trading and child pornography, and when it comes to high level Satanism, all roads lead to Colorado. Unfortunately, there's some of the most high level stuff that takes place, and of course I know we're broadcasting into there, so to all those involved in that world, we know who you are just as much as we know who you know who we are.
Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment with Gregory Reed right here at the American Freedom Network.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at The Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, The Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Church. And most people, well, most people feel that may be other people's churches, but that would never be here. And yet, little by little, by changing, the text of the gospel, by changing the translation, we're moving further and further and further away. And everybody wants to be right on the front lines of what's going on today. And so many ministers, of course, use Westcott and Hort's translation. It actually has to do with translation of the Greek and their Greek dictionary. But Westcott and Hort were deeply involved in the occult, and of course they brought their ideas into the Christian church by providing textbooks for ministers. So, Gregory, as you talk to the average minister, and I'm sure you must be in touch with ministers and youth pastors across the country, do many of them have any idea of the occult influence and infiltration of the church?
No, they certainly don't. And for one example, when we're talking about the purpose-driven church and Rick Warren, I began to understand why. Part of the reason why it's been so successful in actually recruiting pastors is because there's a number of pastors that are in their late 40s, early 50s, even early 60s, who grew up with so much promise. They had been touched by God. They went into ministry. They were going to change the world for Jesus. And it turned out to be, for many of them, hard work, a lot of labor, a lot of difficulties in church and problems. And a lot of them are in a place where they have very small congregations. And they're thinking, well, this isn't how I'd planned it. This isn't how I wanted to go out in ministry. I was going to change the world. And then Rick Warren comes along and says, I can take your tiny church and I can build it into something with 1,000 members. That's influence. And they will take that program without looking at it very closely because it's so appealing. Nobody wants to go out on a, you know, with a fizzle. They want to go out doing something spectacular. So I understand how it seduces pastors into following it and thinking they're doing great things when they may just be doing big things that have nothing to do with God's things. So it's been very stunning to see how many pastors have, without discernment, taken this. And we have this kind of internal philosophy that, well, because it's big, it must be God. If Rick Warren is so popular and his book sold so many copies, it must be from God. And we really need to stop that thinking, because Rick Warren is where he's at, not because God's in it necessarily, but because, well, I'm not even necessarily, I don't believe God's in it. But he's where he's at because somebody like Rupert Murdoch, who's one of the richest people in the world, owns Zondervan Books and promoted the purpose-driven life. It was a marketing technique that made purpose-driven what it was, not the Spirit of God.
And unfortunately, so many of our major Christian publishers are not Christian. They come from a different point of view. So many of our Christian bookstores are part of chains, and they're owned by secular people. And that's why you can go into Christian bookstores all across America and buy all sorts of occult and New Age books. Have you noticed that, Gregory?
Well, exactly. You know, that it's not about, believe me, the people at Zondervan do not care about your spiritual welfare. They care about what sells. And the phenomenon of this new book, which is being promoted by people like Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, it's called The Shack. It's the number one best-selling book, not just in the Christian world, but in the secular world. And it's a fiction book that is so riddled with occult concepts and New Age concepts that it's truly frightening. And to see people like Michael W. Smith promoting it and some people that I really respect or did respect in the Christian world saying, this is a great book, I'm really stunned. And because it's so such a big seller, everybody says, well, you need to read this book. And it's just an incredibly New Age riddled book, and I still to this day don't understand its appeal. It's a fiction book about a guy who loses his daughter, and he is told in a note to go see someone that calls himself Papa, and he gets to this place where his daughter was taken, and Papa turns out to be a woman who cooks him breakfast and teaches him philosophy. The Holy Spirit is a Japanese girl named Sarayu, and Sarayu is the name of a river in India that is the Hindu word for spirit, and nobody's catching this. And the last part of the book, this man is taken, and it is a fiction book, but this man is taken before a judge whose name is Sophia, and Sophia is the Greek goddess of wisdom that has occult ties all the way back to the goddess Asherah in the Bible. And I'm seeing that Christians have no concept of how occult-ridden this book is.
Well,
and,
you know, I started reading the book, and it was really, there was a mystery, there was an element. You knew that there was this secret that you were going to get to, down the line, and it really tended to draw you into the book. But I should mention for the people who haven't actually read the book that God is a big, fat, unattractive black woman. I mean, and this is the picture of God that they're presenting. And you see, what's this? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being fat black. Ladies, they can be just charming, but that's hardly the picture that we want to say that this is God. And this is totally a blasphemous book and one of the best sellers in the world today. That is what's really so frightening, and the fact that so many good Christians are recommending this. Wonderful Christian literature, and little wonder that our nation's in the trouble it is today.
And if anybody's interested, I have an actual article on my website at gregoryreed.com that specifically deals with The Shack. And if you know people that are reading it, or if you have concerns, you can download that article and give it to them, because we've really got to wake up here to what's going on.
Amen to that. Well, Ray, we've only got about 2 minutes here, or just 1 minute. Oh, why don't you make your closing thoughts there, and then we'll look forward to getting you onto our other programs as well.
Very good. Thank you. I just want to encourage people to inform themselves about the truth. I'm not pushing my book because I'm going to make a $1 billion on it, but because it cost me a year of my life to get before God and say, Lord, I need a manual of truth that's going to get into people's hands and help turn around this next generation. I want this next generation to be raised as warriors in truth. We've got to get to them, and we've got to stop entertaining them, and we've got to start putting them in spiritual boot camp, because we really are in the last days before Jesus returns, and we want to have an army that's going to fight against the powers of darkness and take a stand for truth.
Amen. Well, that's well said, and I agree with you totally. I appreciate everything you do, and we will look forward to having you on our other programs. And
thank you, sir.
And if you don't mind, we're just going to get you back on this program here in a month or two, and still, everyone out there has a copy of your book, Trojan Church. Right back. Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye.
Have
thank
a wonderful
you.
Thanksgiving.
People who don't suffer from back pain have no idea how excruciatingly agonizing it can be. Sometimes there's no comfortable position. You can't stand, you can't sit, even lying down can be murder. Sometimes the problem is in the lower back, with shooting, stabbing pains jolting through the buttock and into the thigh. Or sometimes the pain is in the neck and upper back area. You can't turn your head without terrible pain. Pain that bad can wreck your life. Sometimes the pain is caused by an auto accident. Sometimes it's work-related. And sometimes horrible pain can start with something as ridiculous as a sneeze or just sleeping wrong. At Chiropractic Plus, they fix sore necks and backs. At Chiropractic Plus, they usually get impressive results after just one visit. If you're in pain now or know somebody in pain, call Chiropractic Plus at 303-254-8430. They make neck and back pain go away. Call 303-254-8430. They work with insurance companies. Chiropractic Plus, 303-254-8430.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, we do carry Rigby's book. We think it's excellent, The Trojan Church. And, of course, you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, we carry his other book, Diary of a Devil Hunter. We think it's very important. And he's been on the front lines of this battle for a long period of time. And believe me, they've thoroughly infiltrated our churches. The Masonic movement, there are millions of Americans who join Masonry and, of course, have pledged those terrible pledges to search for the light and to follow the leadership of the great architect of the universe, who is Lucifer. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. We take you into the background of Masonry, what Masonry is really all about. And these people are in our churches, they're in our police force, they're working at the highest levels of our government, and many of them don't even understand that they've sworn allegiance to the prince of this world, to Lucifer. Now, certainly we have a four-tape set on satanic crimes. We have a book on satanic crimes as well. We have a book on Satanism and deliverance. People said, I don't like to think about this. I mean, it makes me feel uneasy. Well, yes, you ought to feel uneasy because we live in an evil and wicked world, but we have to understand what's going on out there and how these ideas permeate every aspect of our lives. You heard, of course, a woman whose family had come from the occult, tell you about what she witnessed there, the people in their gowns and their hoods and their candles, and That's what they do at the Bohemian Grove, as they hold there. This is where the leaders of our country, the presidents and the secretaries of state and the people of great wealth and the control of the media, go to the Bohemian Grove. If you've never seen the picture that we have, you know, that Alex Jones shot when he risked his life to go in there, you can call us and get the DVD on the Bohemian Grove, and you can see the leaders of our country with their gowns and their hoods and their candles and their chants. And anyway, of course, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. There's a strong satanic element within the Bilderbergers. And, of course, we have a 4-tape set on the Bilderbergers. We have a video on the Bilderbergers. It's called Endgame, put out by Alex Jones. We have two books on the Bilderbergers. All of this is available. You're not going to get this elsewhere. And certainly our 4-tape set is something we've compiled with people who've studied the Bilderbergers for years. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV. War. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like to get a free catalog, we'd be glad to provide you with one. We do have on our website a number of the videos we've produced or produced elsewhere actually posted there. You can watch them for nothing. You can listen to programs, read the newsletters. Get yourself informed, because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And most people don't even understand the battles going on. They don't understand why we're having a financial crisis today. Or they don't understand who Barack Obama really is or who financed his candidacy. The same people who put Rick Warren into a key position in our country. The same people who actually selected Rick Warren as America's pastor, had pictures of Barack Obama, at least according to Pat Wood, 6 times on the front page of Time magazine. Didn't that just happen by accident? Well, pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. And until Friday, I guess we'll be back with you next Monday. May the Lord be with you.
People who don't suffer.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen.